You can feel entitled to certain things after a good deed.
No, sure.
You help someone move, you help them paint their house, clean their garage, you'd think that person would do something nice for you in return. But what about the greatest deed of all?
Oh, yeah.
Keeping someone on this planet.
I gave you life.
You'd think that would bring the greatest of all rewards, right? Mm-hmm. Well, according to this person who wrote us,
yeah,
you'd be wrong.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. It's Wednesday, it's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week.
Mm.
And this letter comes to us after an amazing story we shared with you about 2 weeks ago. 49-year-old John and his 15-year-old son, Jack, were getting in a round of golf at Ravenwood.
Nice, father-son, little round.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Up until on one of the greens, things got very scary. John, the dad, went into cardiac arrest.
He's having a heart attack.
Yes, he collapsed on the green. Even scarier, 15-year-old Jack said his dad had showed no signs of anything being wrong before that happened. They were out in the middle of the golf course.
It's like when you hear somebody just drops dead.
Bingo, you got it. This teenager was watching his dad die right in front of him.
Oh, he wasn't watching, son. He sprung.
He did. He did something. Jack called 911, and the operator told him to start CPR. Mm. And lucky for everyone involved, Jack knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He had learned CPR as a freshman in high school. His father made it to the hospital alive.
So he pulled him back from the light.
The cardiologist said that Jack's actions kept the blood flowing to his dad's brain, and thanks to the knowledge he had gained and his quick actions and not wilting under pressure, Jack saved his dad's life.
He's a legitimate hero.
100%. And it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
So we had this conversation, telling the story about 2 weeks ago. We talked about how this may change the power dynamic in a house between a father and a 15-year-old kid when he saves your life.
Yeah.
But Tommy, you started going off about how to reward the kid.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say thank you to someone that saved your life?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And your take was?
You pay.
That the kid deserves some kind of monetary value prize.
Yes. Yeah, I think you need to pony up.
Well, this letter we have here is very upset with you.
Why?
They say even the idea of a monetary reward is stupid.
Why would you leave that on the table?
And it's inappropriate.
It's not inappropriate. You love me? You love me? Pay.
What a spoiled-ass kid thing to say.
I could have left you there on the green, bro. Mom could go on a date nap.
Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck, wanting Tommy fired. Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
How can Tommy Mule be so wrong about such an important moment? In reference to your discussion about that amazing young man who saved his father's life with CPR, Tommy wanted to talk about the physical reward the son should get for his actions. I heard him mention money and trips, among other things. The fact is, any reward for saving someone's life is inappropriate. How do you put a price on human life? It's priceless. Watch by me. Giving someone a gift or expecting a gift for those actions, you'd be saying the person you saved and their life are worth a finite dollar amount. Are some people's lives worth more than others? This man's life is worth a lot more to his son than to some random stranger that could have witnessed this. Other than a medal of recognition, there should never be a reward for saving someone's life. And if you were offered that reward, you should decline out of simple human decency. You go to work to make money. If you can step in during an emergency and save someone's life, you do that because that's what we're all called to do as people on this planet. You would want someone to do it for you. Therefore, you should be happy knowing your actions gave that person more time on this earth. Sincerely, William.
Okay, so that is a very well thought out, well-written letter.
Yeah.
And Tommy, this man is coming after you for your take, so I will allow you to have the first word in response.
He's a sucker.
Why is he a sucker?
That's it? That's all you got?
Well, because like he's trying to tell me like nothing should be rewarded. Like, the reward was I saved your life. No, I saved your life. You need to reciprocate. That's the class thing to do. Like, to do nothing but say, like, oh, hey, I'm still on this earth now. I'm going to go have another pork sandwich.
Did you say class?
Yeah.
You want money for saving someone's life, and you tried to use the word class?
The class thing to do is to step up when somebody throws you the biggest bone of your life.
Wait, your mom was there? Kimmy, you were saying, I'm sorry?
No, I was just going to say you should do something for somebody that does that, but it's not an expectation.
Oh, I'm so bringing it up.
You do think that someone should be given a monetary reward or
something? Well, no, I'm saying, like, reward. I would feel like if it was me, if somebody saved my life, I would feel the need to do something for that person that you know, did that for me.
Okay.
But there's no, there's nothing that says I have to.
So let's say I start dying and Kimmy saves my life. And I come back and, well, all right, hey, how's that creep cap coming? What's my PIN number? Hey, can you check my emails? And I'm not going to do anything?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be a little pissed.
Let's put a pin in that for a sec. Let's put a pin in that for a sec. Hold on. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263, because I do think that William in this letter makes a lot of great points. From a personal aspect, this kid's action kept his dad around.
Yeah.
They're all playing golf together. So past loving him for being his dad, they spend quality time. That's what the story tells me. He could get decades more with his father thanks to what he did. I mean, your dad had his first heart attack in his 50s.
Yeah, 55.
And he lived to his 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
But past the personal part of the story, I think the greatest point that William makes in this letter.
What's that?
What is a human life worth? How can you even put a dollar amount on something like that? 252-WCMF.
I understand your point, like, what would be the total amount?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not asking.
Well, you're saying, what's a human life worth?
Okay. Tommy, okay, fine. I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me what the monetary value of saving someone's life is, in your humble opinion.
It's I don't have a number.
No. I should be rewarded with X amount, cash or gift. What is it? Because you're the one arguing for the gift.
How old's the boy?
15.
Kid needs wheels.
Wait, what?
Kid needs wheels.
Yeah. So?
And you play in at Ravenwood in the middle of the week, you got bank.
What are you talking about? It's not that expensive.
That's a nice course.
It is, but it's...
And you're midweek, you're out jackassing on the course. I know you got bank. So the minimum, the first thing you got to do for that boy is get him a set of wheels.
So a $10,000 investment minimum.
No.
What if he already has a
new
car?
Yeah, okay.
I'm going down to the Ide family of dealerships, and I'm picking out my new ride at Ide. And guess what? This guy's paying for it.
Wait, so you said that's not it. That's the first thing.
That's where we're going to... Yeah, that's my first...
Yeah.
That's where we're going to get started.
Okay.
So I say base minimum, the kid, when he turns of driving age, he gets a brand new set of wheels.
Okay, what if the person doesn't have that money? We don't know what this family's financial situation is.
I hear they finance there, and they will work out financing, and they will get you in a payment you're comfortable with.
No, you keep saying that because you think my family's busted.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
You come from bust.
Tommy, who the hell is a pile of thousands of dollars just lying around, right?
Well, that's why you got credit cards and you've got second mortgages and things of nature.
Holy
like
crap.
That.
So you're telling me the life of someone with money is worth more than the life of someone who doesn't have money? Because that's what you're kind of arguing here. So would you judge a millionaire who didn't offer you a reward for saving their life?
Yeah, okay. You got it, man.
Okay. Well, then you're saying that person's life is worth more than someone who doesn't have the money to reward you. And as being someone who is broke and busted, I would be careful which road you're walking down there,
what
Mr. Squatal, as they say in France, Les Squatal. Because, you know, I asked you to put a pause in a conversation you were having a second ago. Mm. Let's say the shoe's on the other foot.
All right.
Let's say Kimmy and I have to save your life one day. We wouldn't, but in a hypothetical situation, Kimmy does CPR, and she brings you back to life from certain death.
Right.
What are you giving her?
Whatever she wants.
What do you want, Kimmy?
Well, I mean, you already put out a new car.
Okay, so new car for Kimmy.
Yeah.
I'd have to.
My ass! You gave her an empty gift card.
I'd definitely recharge that card for her.
You can't.
I would have to get her a car.
You can't afford a car for her. You can't afford a car for you. You just said your car doesn't have, cruise control under 60 on it.
I would have to take out a second job, possibly a third.
You don't do one job. I'm going to start with a first job.
So you're saying you would be comfortable after she saved my life because I can't afford anything to do nothing.
Yes.
Knowing she needs a set of wheels.
Thank you? I think would suffice. Kimmy, what do you think?
Wait, like if you just said, hey, thanks, and moved on?
I
mean,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, you see.
Here's what I do. I go, on air, I would tell the whole story, and thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for saving my life.
I mean, I would expect at least, like, a daily coffee or something.
Pay more than a coffee.
No, I would, but I'm saying, like, I would think, like, you would feel the need to something.
No, Pat says
are the worst.
I have the gift of life.
It would be weird.
I could just
sit here. Don't you think it would be weird though if you saved, let's say we saved Tommy's life and then we just never talked about it or did anything about it?
No, I mean, we would talk about it. We'd make fun of him.
laughing at everything. Everything's a big goddamn joke.
Here's what you're not considering, right?
I consider nothing.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. I'm talking to both of you here.
I'm offering stuff.
No, you're not, because you can't afford nothing. You're going to go to your wife, honey, I'm going to buy Kimmy a car. Please buy Kimmy a car. After you're done buying my car, thank you. Hey, Mail of the Week, talking about a story from 2 weeks ago. 15-year-old kid out in Ravenwood golf course. He's golfing with his dad. Dad goes down, cardiac arrest. Kid calls 911, tells him start CPR. Luckily for everybody there, 15-year-old Jack knew CPR. He learned it as a freshman in high school, saved his dad's life. Cardiologist said that the blood flowing to the brain that Jack was doing the CPR with kept him alive.
Yeah.
And as we were having this conversation about how amazing the kid was, Tommy starts going off about how he needs a reward, a financial reward. Which
Cha-ching.
Set off events that had William send in a letter saying that you should not be given a reward for saving a person's life. How do you put a monetary value on a human life? Kimmy, you say it would be weird if you saved Tommy's life and you didn't get anything for it.
Like, just no like acknowledgement.
Nothing.
Other than a, hey, thanks.
There would be
It would just be strange that you didn't feel obligated to do anything. Right.
Tommy has a wife who loves him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her seeing her thrilled, I mean, if she loved you, but that he's still around instead of the all rats that we'd actually get, that wouldn't be enough reward for you?
No, it would be. My thing is, I find it weird that he wouldn't feel the need to do anything.
And I do.
All right. Can I paint a different scenario for
you?
Sure. Started with
Tom. Oh, Pat Scenario's here? My favorite Italian. Hey, Pat Scenario. What if your mother was dying on a golf course?
I don't have like huge expectations to get something out of it, but I would think you'd do something to acknowledge it.
All right, so let's say that I go down, which actually is probably the most likely of all scenarios based on past here in the room, right? And you jump in, and you save my life,
okay?
Right? And you come with me to the hospital because I need someone.
Right.
Okay.
My wife has called you my work wife, which makes me very uncomfortable. And at the hospital, they bring me back, and my wife and my daughters are there, and my wife is crying, and she's holding you, and my daughters, thank you, you saved my
daddy.
I'd
be happy. It'd be a really great day.
And if
after
I come back,
all said and done.
I come back, and I say thank you, and that's the end of it. None of that would be enough for you.
No, it's not that it wouldn't be enough for me. Again, I don't need anything big. I just would find it weird that you didn't do...
And by the way... They got it. Don't worry about it.
I would just find it weird that like you didn't want to take me out to dinner or anything.
London over here. We're going to the game over here. Detroit on a whim. Come on down.
Yeah, the big city of Detroit.
Miami, baby.
What have I been to Miami?
Well, you went to Orlando, which is North Miami, baby.
I would have a hard time.
Like, you didn't even invite me in your igloo.
Ooh.
No, look, I mean, you're not an igloo person.
That's what I mean.
There's
nothing.
Igloo people. There's not igloo people.
You like, you just moved on after this traumatic day.
I mean, I would have a hard time if she was on the other foot and something happens and I save your life.
Yeah.
Your husband thanking me.
Yeah.
Mm.
But like in a fake way. Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot, man. Almost got out of that one. I would have a hard time taking anything from you.
But would you find it weird if we didn't offer anything?
No, I wouldn't.
All right, here's another scenario. What?
No, go ahead. Thomas Scenario.
That would make sense. I'm Sicilian.
You are Sicilian, yes.
I save your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't want anything for it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But you got it.
Well, I would make the argument.
At least got to buy him a new pair of socks.
You got it. Well, you got to step up.
Do I?
Oh, yeah.
Because I would make the argument that we're even.
How are we even?
Well, you saved my life. I saved your career.
Is this what you call saving a career? I have no money and I haven't had a raise for 30 years.
Well, stop blowing through cameras and speed zones. You'd have a little bit of money. You would want, I thought, the fact that we've known each other for so long would make me think you're the person least likely I would feel I had to reward. We're friends. We've known each other since I was 15.
So you're going
to
welch out.
Yeah, it's not a welch.
It's a total welch.
A stotal welch?
It's a total welch.
Stotal recall welch. You know, we're also not factoring in here.
What's that?
How expensive it can be to survive something like what we're describing.
Oh,
true.
Now.
I mean, this may not be like, done in a day.
Or the medical
expense. It might be a,
Well, look, I watched it happen with my dad. And then I watched it happen with my daughter when she had all that brain stuff going on, right? Those bills come in. I love how you got, right.
Hold on. Well, go ahead. All right, so medical bills are buried.
So like when my daughter had her surgeries and everything, the brain stuff, she's good now.
Yeah.
When those bills came in, they looked like phone numbers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right? Someone who ends up at the hospital after a near-death experience most likely is going to have insane medical debt, and then you're going to ask them for a reward on top of that?
Hold on. So let's say we do a GoFundMe, and you raise... a nice chunk of change.
Sure.
So let's say you raise a couple hundred thousand dollars.
No one's giving me money.
No, but let's
unless
say...
Unless the money goes to put me down like a dog.
But like in general, okay. People could get that... Just throw me a cut of that GoFundMe.
It sounds like fraud to me.
It's not fraud.
Oh, when you say it like that.
How's it fraud?
Because well, that money's for me and my family.
Yeah, GoFundMe.
Me.
I'm the guy that saved your ass. Me. They don't really say who me is.
Before you get to your message, can I ask you a serious question?
What?
If I go down, one of you is going to have to give me mouth to mouth. Who is it?
No, you don't do mouth to mouth. You just do CPR.
No, in this specific case, you have to give me mouth to mouth.
Tommy.
Well, you don't get to volunteer, man.
No, I do. You didn't answer fast enough.
I'll give it a
you
shot.
You get to put your lips on those yogurt lips over there.
All right.
Bro, no, because you got to go over my mouth, so you're going to get nothing but beard on them lips, baby.
All right, I will do it.
Yeah?
I just had to drag you into the men's room. I have this new kiosk.
What's it called?
It's called Uncle Tommy's old-timey CPR. Ass resuscitation to your mouth.
Why? What? Your mouth is going on.
I'm
going
to drop ass.
Oh, gotcha.
We did get a tweet from Jay who said, oh my God, if I was in Kimmy or Pat's spot and I saved Tommy, I'd take nothing, but I would never, ever let go of, hey, remember when I saved your life? I'd give him hell every day.
Oh, that goes without saying, obviously.
Well, that's cruel.
Is it? Die then.
Every day in here.
Oh,
every damn day.
It's so hard for me to come in and make pet jokes and leave at 10 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my God. Look at me. And then get caught on camera and be charged $25 extra for every ticket. Third ticket. You got his third ticket.
It's $100 to go home every day.
Let's take a break. The announcement of the death of the American Mall may have been premature.
So what's going on?
Well, kind of premature. Because it turns out people have started going back to the mall.
For that delicious food court food.
Well, see, you're only half wrong.
Orange Julius.
Because they're not walking out of the mall with shopping bags.
What are they getting?
Turns out, at least according to this, we're now using the mall for something else.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, did you know?
What?
In the last 5 years, there's been an uptick in people going to the mall.
So we're buying our jeans again.
No, we're not. We're not going shopping.
Or the hell you don't know mall.
Numbers in a new study suggest that people are going back to the mall for dining and entertainment experiences.
Oh.
For example, they have a list of businesses that they say get people going to the mall. They polled people, what makes you go to the mall? Of the top 10, 8 of them are chain restaurants.
So it's just basically it's a massive food court.
Well, we're just getting into it here. All right, so Macy's and Target were the only actual stores in the top 10 that were bringing people to malls.
So it's chow.
Yeah, exactly. So 8 of the top 10 are chain restaurants, and it gets weirder from there because it's not just stuff we want to eat at the mall.
What else we don't?
Stuff we want to do as well. Experiences, they call them.
Ah.
Things like movie theaters, virtual reality centers, medical spas have seen a giant increase thanks to their popularity with mall customers.
Like that whole Dick's experience now you got outside?
Exactly. But I mean, so yes, that would be a unique combination of a store and an experience.
And that go-kart track you almost got me killed on.
Bingo, yes. I wasn't even there for that.
You
don't blame
me. You did that on
you
your
guys
own.
Talked me into it.
I don't know.
The boss said you do it
so.
In your pitch, so you went and did it. Who'd you race against? Daryl Waltrip?
Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah, until he flipped you over.
Damn, near killed me. Jesus.
So if you look around our area, it's exactly what's happening. The mall in Greece has a ton of restaurants. They're continually adding more. And Kimmy, those places always look popping on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they got a pretty good crowd.
Marketplace is pretty much just experiences now. You got the go-kart track you brought up.
I thought it was all a lot of medical out there.
You got medical there, too. But that Dave and Buster's, it's the only
one
in our
area.
Oh,
yeah, you love that jackass place.
That place is always super popular.
Well, and that's part of it, too. I feel like a lot of those places that have been added to malls, they are like a one that's the only one in that area or on that side of town.
Well, I think we learned our lesson after we built two malls within 4 miles of each other on the same road. But the only like traditional mall the way we remember it seems to be Eastview right now.
Yeah.
But even Eastview has a big selection of sit down places to eat.
And they got that fancy Dick's.
Exactly. Interactive stuff. I mean, that's one of the most, with the batting cages, the rock wall, the outdoor, they turn into an ice rink in the wintertime. It's one of the most unique places you can go to. It's the only one in the country, right? Or at least
I thought it was the first
one. Okay, does this make sense to you guys?
Yeah, you got to reinvent yourself, and this town is great at that. If there's one town that knows how to do that, it's this town. When industry tanks, we find something else to do.
It's a good call. But does it make sense to you that people are going to the mall for experiences and food?
Because they are kind of unique. Like that Dick's thing, like you said, it's really unique.
It is, but like when it comes to getting food and stuff, like Rochester is chock full of every restaurant in the world away from the mall. You go down Jefferson Road, you go down Ridge Road, you got the mom and pop places all over the place. You don't
That is a little surprising.
You don't have to go to the mall to eat.
Right.
Like I get in a place when we've been to some towns in the Midwest where it's like, yeah, this is where you have to go to get food.
Yeah, there's nothing really unique at the mall that you can't get anywhere else to your point.
But I mean, when it comes to like food and stuff over shopping, that makes sense because I can't get P.F. Chang's from Amazon.
No.
There's no Red Robin in my backyard.
Yum.
I don't need to try on, give me three pairs of pants anymore to find the best price. I can just get them online, right?
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the idea of what the mall is becoming is what it was supposed to be in the first place.
Like a town, almost like a town square.
Yeah, I'll get to that in just a second. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to John. Hey, John, how are you, buddy?
How much? How you doing?
Good, John. What do you got?
I was just telling Kimmy that the medical office over at Marketplace is like state of the art over there. It's like going to an international frickin' airport.
That's what it says on the sign. International frickin' airport of medical center.
What makes it so cool?
They have TV panels in there when you walk in, tells you what doctor you need to see, what floor, what area.
Oh.
They got their own cafe. They got a state-of-the-art motion lab and gym. It's pretty wild.
No, he's right. I had to take my daughter in there after she broke her collarbone.
Yeah.
It's insane. And, John, it smells like Auntie Anne's pretzels, which makes it even better.
You never can get that smell out.
Yeah,
no matter how hard you try.
No, I mean, that was the first thing. I walked in.
Really?
I'm like, oh, my God, it smells like pretzels in here.
All right, so state-of-the-art medical.
That cafe they have in there.
All right, John. Well, thanks for that. I'm going to go get a pretzel.
I got cancer and a cappuccino.
I believe it's just orthopedics over there. I don't know. John, thanks for the call. Have a good rest of the day.
I'm in the wrong. I'm at the wrong mall. Can you take me to the cancer mall?
Way to bring everybody down,
man.
For God's sakes.
It's state of the art, man. I'm sick and I got coffee.
I mean, it must be pretty cool for like for that to like stick in John's brain. Like, this is a pretty cool medical center.
No, I mean, he's absolutely right. It's like
an international.
It's like walking into a spaceship. Like, they did a really great job over there with that whole thing. And but going back to this whole thing, again, 252-WCMF, people are going back to the mall. The last 5 years, Americans have started going back to the mall.
Because we're sick.
But not for shopping.
We're limping in.
For dining and experiences. Mm. When the mall was invented, the idea, the guy who designed the first American shopping mall, designed it as a town square.
Yeah, like a community center.
Exactly. Like there would be stores in there, but there was going to be other things. And for whatever reason, as time moved on, it all became stores. Right. It seems like it's starting to go back to what it was initially supposed to be. A place for people to get together and entertain themselves. Because Kimmy, I mean, even before the restaurants and the entertainment businesses showed up, we did use the mall for that. We would go and meet our friends there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you dropped your kids off.
It wasn't just purely like there to shop. It was just the place to hang out.
And even the mall would put on events to draw people in, right? Mm-hmm. You would have like those professional wrestling shows or
you're
the karate
demonstrations.
They had
demonstrations. Like art shows for kids, like the schools in the area.
The trout derby where you could hook a trout in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
As a 6-year-old and carry it around in a bag while you went shopping for pants. Who thought that was a good idea?
Know.
You want a trout, but you watch its eyeball explode? Come to Greece.
I think of how many times CMF gave away huge prizes at malls every year. And we did multiple times.
They did multiple.
Multiple.
They gave away multiple.
There were concerts at malls.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had, was it Tiffany was like the mall queen? Yeah.
I think I saw.
A Debbie Gibson?
Yep. Oh, she's Deborah.
See the mall one.
Huh?
Deborah Gibson, no.
Oh, because she got old.
I think I was in the Buffalo Mall once, and like Jessica Simpson was performing randomly. But
that makes
sense. Like I remember they had a whole stage set up and everything.
So you know, I used to work on PXY.
Yeah.
The amount of mall concerts that I had to go to when I worked on that show because they would bring these people through and the kids.
Well,
would come
didn't some
watch
of those people become huge?
Yeah, yeah. I don't none that I was there for. I must have been a curse.
No, but I think Justin Bieber was one of those acts. It started out like that when they brought him around. They would bring him to the mall before he hit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's funny, man. I can't tell you a single name of the mall acts that I was at.
I mean, they did it with Dylan.
Bob Dylan did not go on a mall tour.
Bob Dylan was a mall act before he hit.
What was he singing about?
Check out Zeus. We're America. Just for value. They validate parking, too.
Boo. See, so all of this sounds great, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're bringing people back to these places. It's not going to be like this empty hole of a space that people were fearing it was going to be. There is a potential problem, however.
What's the problem?
When do you run out of entertaining things to put in the mall?
Well, but then Things crop up all the time, man.
Well, but that's the problem. There are only so many entertainment businesses people want to go to. Think of a place like Grease Ridge Mall, right? That is a vast place.
Yeah.
It's not like two-thirds of the mall can be food and entertainment and make itself successful. And as you said, those things...
But then they bring in the medical.
You said those things pop up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is also a problem because what we get entertained by goes in cycles.
Yeah.
Let's use Greece again for an example.
Right.
Kimmy, they had a Discovery Zone when we were kids. Yep. That place crushed.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it was the number one birthday party spot for kids on the west side.
Eastview Mall had Funscape. Oh my God, Funscape. Movies, food, and fun. Yeah. Funscape. But folks got excited for that stuff, and then they got bored with it, and it disappeared. And then came laser tag and indoor mini golf at the mall.
Yep.
And every mall had a couple of those places open.
Glow-in-the-dark mini golf.
And that lasted a few years, and people got bored with that, right? The funniest mall craze from back in the day.
What's that?
Do you guys remember the make-your-own-record CD places?
No.
So there was one in Greece. I know I'm not the only one that remembers
And you could, like, record your own?
It was right next to the old Critics, the diner that's in
really?
There.
Really? I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, so it was like you walked in the thing, and there was, like, a closet where there was, like, a microphone with, like, sound paneling on it, right? And you could either sing karaoke of, like, a modern pop song, or you could bring in your own music, and they would record your voice.
Oh.
And it would play over, like, a speaker that was, like, in the lobby of the business. But everyone could hear it walking by. It was the most unintentionally hilarious thing
you've
ever
heard. God, I'd love to hear some of those.
Man,
recordings.
I'd like them to bring that. I would go to that. Mm. I would go to the mall just to see that, if that existed still.
I know I'm not the only one. At Duffy on WCMF on Instagram and Twitter. I didn't make this up, right? Because I remember standing in there watching my buddy who thought he was a legitimate musician do it. And you would walk by and hear these people.
So when did it go away then? Because I have no memory of that.
I think it lasted a couple of years.
But I mean, to your point, like every once in a while, something new comes in and replaces these things. Like you're seeing right now and what you're talking about back in the day.
But I guess the point is, if each of these things is cyclical and they only last a couple of years, what do you keep replacing it with? And you don't have the ability to keep expanding everything out. So like the idea that we need all that space is kind of like...
No, but the things that tank, something new is going to go in that spot.
Okay.
It's kind of what happened to these malls to begin with.
No, I get it. But what I'm saying is you don't need all that space anymore. That's the only problem is you're not going to be able to fill up an entire mall for 3 years and everything changes again and you got... Yeah. 30 new entertainment businesses that are taking people's money. Even the movie theater died in Greece before they had to come up with the new Apple movie theater.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they made the fancy one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. 252 WCMF. Let's talk to Ben. Hey, Ben, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Good, good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah. You guys are forgetting about the arcades. Because FYE over in Eastview, one part of it, I think half the store used to be an arcade.
I did love some arcades. I mean, Dave and Buster's kind of brought that back. I think there are also now arcades popping up at Eastview. There's like a room with video games in it.
Dave and Buster's isn't the same, though, man. You know it's not the same.
Well, I mean, look, I enjoyed time out at Grease Ridge Mall. I enjoyed that place, the crazy carpet and all. But yeah, man, I mean.
I think Irondequoit Mall had the arcade like right above the food court on the right, left side. That's what I would do on Saturday mornings, get my allowance, then he'd go drop us off at the mall for a few hours, and then we'd just hang out in the arcade all morning.
Man, nobody grabbed you.
I know. Bummer.
Ben, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. It is funny. I don't know how it was for girls.
Yeah.
But when like my grandmother would take me to the mall,
yeah,
the crux of the trip was the arcade.
Yeah. Was it?
We were going to the arcade.
I think you were either an arcade family or you weren't.
How'd you have the money?
Well, she would give me like a five or something.
I'm about to say, those things were not cheap.
Right. It didn't last very long.
Well, back in the day, everything was a quarter. Now I sound like an old man. You know, it wasn't. No, there's $3 games I got nowadays playing as a Ghostbuster.
Yeah, like I can't think of a time where I was just left alone to go hang out in the arcade.
Really?
No.
I was a young man and they allowed me to do that.
Yeah, but you're a boy and she's a girl.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Yeah, but you're forgetting I did have bosoms at that point.
Yeah, I'm also not giving, here, daughter, here's some money, go hang out by yourself.
We now know who our president-elect is this morning.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just president we were voting for yesterday. We talked about how there was a bunch of down-ballot candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, there were states that put out some pretty important props. One, in fact, that was national news.
Oh.
And why this state decided to shoot this down.
So he took a pass on the prop.
It does make a lot of sense because you know what everyone CZS, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, there you go.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So locally, politically, it doesn't look like there were many like upsets in local elections,
no.
At least from what I've seen this morning. But one state proposition kept getting a bunch of national coverage last night, and it comes from Tommy's home state of Florida.
What's up, Florida doing?
Florida left it up to the residents whether or not they wanted to legalize recreational marijuana.
Mm.
So for this to pass, they needed 60% of the voting population to get it. And by the end of the night,
yeah,
they only had 55.
Wow, they shot it down.
The state of Florida shot down recreational legal marijuana. Question?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
It's Florida.
Thank you!
Man.
I mean, like, I'm going to calm it down here.
Mm.
Do they not know what everyone else thinks about Florida outside of Florida? Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's several websites and social media sites called Florida Man.
Dedicated to Florida Man.
Yes, right? Like,
there's an actual strain of weed called swamp weed.
Okay.
Or skunk weed.
Where's that come from?
That started in Florida.
And, like, you can't tell me. I'm going to guess the majority of Floridians, because we found out the majority of New Yorkers were actually smoking marijuana, using marijuana, when it was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell happened there?
It is weird. Like, Florida has a city that the skyline is owed to the sale of cocaine, and they passed on weed.
So I could be wrong, but I think the access to medical marijuana in Florida is pretty easy.
Okay.
So maybe people just see we have that over there, so it's fine.
Let me explain something to you.
Okay, please.
At one time, Florida had this chain of clinics. They were stores called the Pain Clinic.
Okay.
Where you could go in without a doctor and buy super high grade pain pills.
No.
And they were called pain clinics. These guys got super rich. There's a documentary on them. People from other states used to come down there and camp out and just live in their parking lot with their government checks buying pain medication because they were junkies.
Oh.
And this was all above board. They were legal shops and they passed on weed.
I don't know, man. Like, I would have thought, based on how many states have legalized it across the country, and right. Let's take New York.
I would think, like, it would start to, like, be a domino effect,
yeah.
Right?
Especially in a state where, I mean, look, they, you know, their thing is, like, we're going
to
let you do, it's a free,
to
it's
be
a free
you.
State. Yeah, come down here and you be you.
Right.
That's their argument, right? But you can't legally smoke marijuana.
No, that's insane.
And you know me, man.
I am shocked.
I'm not even, like, a flag weight. I don't even smoke pot. My mind was blown.
Yeah.
Because it also makes you wonder, because, you know, there was a point at every state at some point throughout the night, as they're going through state-by-state elections, presidential, Congress, Senate, whatever, where a state was focused on, where they touch on the state, they break down where things went down. What do people who live in certain states think people outside of those states see them as?
Okay.
Because I got the impression last night, the people that voted down legalized marijuana in Florida, they think that people see them as like this classy, up-and-coming, like, you know, professional state.
Mm-hmm. No, it's...
I'm sorry. Right. You know, you grew up there.
I mean, it's a state that is surrounded by sharks and infested with snakes.
You forgot about the gators.
It's the gators, too. It's a sandbar.
Okay.
It's the world's largest sandbar. And you're a bigger state now than New York in population.
Yeah, population-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, too, they were talking about Massachusetts at one point last night as I'm watching some of the returns come in. And they're talking to these people in Massachusetts, and they're chest out, and they're very prideful. You know, it's one of the cornerstones of democracy in America, right, early on. But, like, I don't think, like, professional democracy cornerstone when I think of Massachusetts. I think mass holes who love the Patriots and Red Sox, right? And I know they don't see me seeing them in that way. They probably see themselves as, like, this upstanding American, you know, we are this. And it occurred to me, I don't think there's a state outside of New York where I have, like, a positive impression of anybody
really?
That lives there.
Yeah.
Can you name one?
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of jealous of people that live in California.
Okay, but, like, okay, you're jealous of them. Do you look at them as, like, wow, you're from California?
I mean, they're usually pretty cool.
Wow.
Pretty cool, man.
Pretty cool. Like, pretty laid back. I just assume that they surf and do cool stuff. Definitely skateboard.
We're guilty of this, too, though. Mm. Well, you're only basing that on every Baywatch episode we watch after the show every day. But we're guilty of this, too, because, like, you know, when you say you're from New York, you have this, like, yeah, I'm from freaking New York.
Right.
I'm a New Yorker, right? But There's no way that any state outside of New York thinks we're any cool at all.
No, they think you're from New York
City.
Well,
yeah.
And
then
you're a douche for being from New York
City. Yeah, you're basically...
You have to downplay your coolness by saying, like, actually, not there, more like up the state and over a little bit.
They think Long Island, places like that.
Sure. I don't. It occurred to me last night watching these returns that every state has this inflated idea of who they are and what people think about them, and nobody is right. Nobody likes any other state.
Yeah.
Fair?
True, but I know I'm right in my bigotry of other states.
Okay, bigotry?
I don't know, what would you call it?
But to his credit, he's lived in other places, so you have a little bit better of an idea.
Well, I would call it bigotry because I don't like you based on where you live.
Okay.
That would be bigotry, right? I don't even know you.
Can we get a Google definition of bigotry just to make sure we don't get fired as Tommy? You're going to just isolate that. Tommy Boulay says he's a bigot. Bigotry.
Because I told you, like, every time I go to Florida, I forget how weird Florida is. And like the last time I went down there to see my brother, and we drove down, how many people I saw driving cars shirtless?
I don't know why that bothers you so much.
I know it does.
He was a cop. I mean, I don't even know how he got the badge on. But like, I mean, it freaks you out when you see a lot guys my age.
It's pretty hot down there.
But would you imagine seeing me in a car shirtless?
You're not a sweaty guy. You don't understand.
But would you want to see me shirtless getting gas?
No, but I guess if it's your norm, you know.
Can we get a bigotry definition?
Unreasonable attachment to a belief, opinion, or faction, in particular prejudice against a person or people on the basis of their membership of a particular group.
All right, like it works. State. Count it.
There.
Tommy is
Nailed
a
it.
State bigot.
Put your shirt on, boys.
What is your favorite state outside of New York? The people that you rank the highest outside of your fellow New Yorkers.
Oh, another state I enjoy.
The people from that state.
I would say probably I really enjoyed my time in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's a good one.
I really
that's
love Wisconsin.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, even in the wintertime when I had to work up there, I just loved Wisconsin, which is weird because the state next to it I can't stand, which is Michigan.
Michigan is the worst.
Because they should be similar peoples.
Yeah, but they're
right?
Not.
They're completely different.
New Mexico's really, I really enjoyed
New Mexico. Beautiful.
The people were cool. It was a nice little place. It was super unique.
Yeah. The meth, oh my God.
Didn't
melts in
meth.
Your mouth.
Meth melts in your nuts?
I can't
what
talk.
Are you doing?
Well, I took too much meth.